Good morning. It's good to be with you. And we thank God for the opportunity to be back at Bethel. And we have loved your pastor for years and love you guys. And think of you all often and click on and watch Brother Mike from time to time when we get a chance. And so it's encouraging to stand in his pulpit. I've known him since I was a little boy and love him and admire his knowledge and love for the Word of God, and the mentor that he's been to me. There have been times I've had questions I didn't know answers to, and I thank God for men like Pastor Mike that, as a friend, you can call and you can ask him anything, and he don't think you're ignorant. You know, he takes it legitimately and applies Scripture, and he reminds me a lot of my daddy. My daddy's my hero. Love my dad. But one thing I love about Pastor Mike is when they give you an answer, it's not just their opinion. They back it with the Word of God. And I like men, you know, I can give you my opinion all day. All of us could sit here and have opinions, amen? But they're not going to help anybody. The Word of God is so powerful. And I love that about Pastor Mike, his love for the Word. And it's caused many a man to love the Word deeper and have a deeper respect for what God has given us, and I hope that that's done that for you, and I admire him for that. I appreciate what he's doing, and I know what he's doing, where he's at, and I appreciate his love to just take the Word of God and put it wherever he can put it and let God have his way, and I thank God for using him. If you have your Bible, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. While you're turning there, I want to say thank you for the gift basket that you gave us, a little snack basket that we had in our room. Thank you for the comfortable room and the hospitality that Brother John and them was waiting on us when we got here last night, and I appreciate that, and just making us feel at home, and we've always felt comfortable here, and we appreciate that. We are in Wichita, Kansas at the time, and you pray for us, please, that God will open doors where he wants us. We had moved there a little over 2 years ago and started pastoring, and just felt like God had encouraged us to step out of the way where we was at. Didn't know where he was leading. It was a step of faith. Sometimes I look back and say, was it a step of faith or a step of stupidity? No, I'm just kidding, all right? But not being in the pulpit now for over 8 months, I'm anxious to get back to pastoring. Me and the wife was talking yesterday. It's just our love. It's our desire to be serving people and be ministering. And we know that God has called us together and to do that. And so would you pray that God give us guidance? We've got a few doors that's opened. Nothing that God has just said go yet. And I know he's got a plan and a purpose. And you pray for us. Our kids didn't get to make it with us. They wanted to stay home, and we've been traveling so much, they said, can we just please stay home? And so we left them with some friends there where they could be home and just kind of relax and enjoy themselves. But we are thankful for what God's doing, doors he's opened and letting us be here. 1 Samuel chapter 4, I want to speak for just a little bit of time this morning on losing sight of what's important. Losing sight of what is important. I want to read 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It says, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us this day before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring forth thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout. So the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing hitherto. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men, and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. As I read this passage of Scripture, there's some things that I want to point out here in just a second. But good intentions, but done the wrong way. How many of us get in that rut if we're not careful? Don't raise your hand, but I want you to think about that. How many of us have good intentions, have good motive, have a desire, but yet we're not doing it God's way? We're not keeping focus of what God expects. We're doing what we think. And there's a story that I read that I laughed about and thought was kind of funny. There was a service at an old synagogue, and they would always say a certain prayer. And when they said the certain prayer, half of the congregation would stand, and the other half of the congregation would remain seated. And the half that was seated started yelling at the one sitting or standing, "Sit down, sit down." And the one standing would turn and they would yell at the one seated down. They'd say, "Stand up, stand up." And the leader of the congregation, he was all disturbed and didn't know what to do, and went to some of the elders and he said, "What do we do? How do we fix this? We can't have this yelling back and forth and all this confusion. What do we do?" And they told him, they said, "Won't you go to the oldest elder of the church and just kind of find out what the tradition was and what we should do?" And so he looks up and finds that the oldest elder of the church was 96 years old, and at this time he's in a nursing home, and he tracks him down and he goes to the old man and he said, "Listen," he said, "we have an issue here." He said, I want to know, is the tradition to stand during the prayer?" The old man answered, no, that's not the tradition. He said, "So the tradition is to sit down for the prayer." He said, no, that's not the tradition. The rabbi said, I'm confused. The people argue all the time. They're yelling at each other about whether they should sit or whether they should stand. He said, there you go. He said, that's the tradition. And I got tickled when I read that. I thought, man, how many times do we as people get lost in the ritual, get lost in the form, and forget about the real reason why we're doing what we're doing? You ever thought about that? Boy, I could share my testimony with you of how God has just worked me over, I guess you would say, in the last 8 months. I resigned from my church in August and figured God would open a door soon, and he didn't. And I went to work driving as a courier for FedEx. And I was the second day on the job, and a young lady comes up the freeway the wrong way, hit me head on in my truck. And man, just the grace of God, I lived. It was a very tragic accident, and cars blew up and burn up and hit by a semi-truck, and no way I should have crawled out of that vehicle and walked away, but God did. But for the next 4 months, there was just a trying time that financially, physically, trying to figure out what's going on with my body, muscles hurting and things hurting that I didn't know what was happening, what was going on, couldn't move shoulders and necks. But God set me down over the last 8 months in my life to humble me, break me, teach me, but above all, put the scope back on sight. And He's helped me realize that a lot of times we get unfocused when we think we're focused. A lot of times we focus on what's not important and what we think's important to God. And listen, it may not be necessarily sin. It may not be, but we've lost focus of where God wants us to focus. And instead of seeking God the way we should, we get into focusing on rituals. And here's the main thing that God, I want us to see from this passage of Scripture today. We forget about seeking the relationship with God. Boy, how many of us go through the motions and don't have the real relationship with God? One of the things that God's really convicted me over, and I'm trying to preach fervently about when I preach, and God gives me opportunity, is that we don't need religion anymore in our lives. Listen, we know how to go to church. We know how to sing. We know when to say amen. We know when to smile at the brothers or sisters in church. And we know how to put the mask on if we're not careful. And we go through the religious rituals of what we've watched all of our lives. But I want to tell you the thing that'll build churches and build your faith and build your strength in God is relationship with the Almighty God. You know, we come before God, and when you look at this, they imposed the form. They had an engrossment in the form, and they had no substance. And the looks were there, but their hearts were far from God. And I want you to notice what happens in this passage of Scripture. When we get to the passage of Scripture, Israel has to fight the Philistines in battle. And what happens here is 4,000 men lost their battle, or lost their lives. When you look at chapter 4 and verse 3, you see a question that they asked. They came back and they were slain, 4,000 of them, and they said, "Why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today before the Philistines?" You look at what they said. "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" And I'm going to preach this here in a second in the main service. But instead of really getting a hold of God and finding out from God, look what they done the very next phrase. They answered their own question. They didn't let God give them direction. They didn't let God give them input. They had good intentions, and I could teach all morning on what the ark meant, and they understood that. The ark was the power and the presence of God. And so we'd all agree they had great intentions by wanting to bring the ark back and wanting to get the ark. But listen, the good intentions wasn't done God's way. They didn't go back and seek God on how to bring that back. God, how do we get it? Listen, I'm telling you, I see this every day of my life as I'm able to be in churches and be a part of churches. Listen, we have good intentions in our churches. Hey, it's a good thing to want people saved, amen? It's a good thing to want the pews full of people. It's a good thing to want lives touched by the power and presence of God. But how we do it must be God's way. Boy, we've got, and I don't think it's as bad here at Bethel, praise God, amen. You've stayed to the old paths and sought out the old paths. But listen, I'm telling you, I watch it in churches today and religion across the nation today. We've got so many ideas of what we think will work. And listen, even when we're fundamental, I've been raised fundamental all my life. I've been taught the ways of God, tried to walk in them all of our life. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but in thereof, the Bible says, is the way of death. And they had the right goals. They wanted to bring the power back. They wanted to bring the presence back. They wanted to bring God's protection and God's covenant back, the ark, back to the group. But what you look at here and what you see in verse 3, they said, "Wherefore hath the Lord letting us be smitten this day before the Philistine?" And they come up with their own solution. Boy, and I thought about this, and it convicted me even last night as I was reading this passage of Scripture. I thought, how many times have I told God what needs to be? Boy, Lord, if you would do this, it'd sure fix the problem. How many's done that? You don't have to be ashamed. Listen, we all have. Boy, God, if you wouldn't do this, you look at what they say here. Hey, here's the solution. "Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us." That, notice what they say next. "When it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hands of our enemies." And as I was reading this last night, I thought to myself, how many of us are guilty of that right there? The question was right, but it wasn't addressed to God. It was addressed to one another. and it was addressed in their own mind. They were venting their frustrations, but without the intention of really hearing from God. Well, I don't know about you, but that convicts me. How many times do we just vent? And listen, our venting may be good. It may have good intentions. But are we really pouring that out because we want to hear from God? Or are we wanting appeasement from man? Are we wanting to look good in the eyes of man, like we are trying to seek God? And we are. And listen, when I read that last night, it just really spoke to my heart. The question was right, but it wasn't addressed to the right person. It wasn't given in the right. They were venting and weren't having the right intentions. How do we know? In the very next line, we find them answering their own question. Let us bring the ark of the Lord of the covenant from Shiloh. So listen, why? That it may go with us and save us from the hands of our enemies. You know what their mindset was, as I see? I look at this and I think, man, they thought this will solve our problem. Here's the magic potion. Here's the quick fix to our solution. How many times, boy, and this resonates in my heart, because there's been many a times I said, boy, God, if you do this, it sure fix this. Sure help this. This is what needs to happen. This is what needs to take place. This is what we got to do. This is what's got to happen. This is what must be done. And when I look back, I thought, man, did I really take time to get on my face before God and talk to Him about it, seeking? And here's the big one. Be still until I heard. I said this to Brother John last night. We was talking. And I said, I've got opportunity. I've got doors that's open to me right now of churches that's called and want me to consider and want me to think about. But I said, I used to would have looked and said, man, that's good opportunity, and that's got good potential, and that's got some right pieces, and I would jump and take a chance on go. I'd go trusting that, hey, God knows my heart, God knows my intentions, God knows my desire, and God will bless it. But I'm getting older, and I've been through this a little bit, and I've learned. And I, in the multitude of counsel, there wanteth not wisdom. Boy, it's good to have godly counsel in your life. If you don't have accountability people in your life or godly counselors in your life, you need them. Listen, I'll be 45 in just a few months, and I'm still young, but I've learned that my wisdom ain't the only wisdom that's good wisdom. I've learned that my counsel ain't the only counsel I need in my life. I need godly men to help me once in a while look at all the details. And so as I got to thinking about this, I told Brother John last, I said, these doors have opened, there's some good pieces. But I said, I have not made a decision and not going to jump till I know I hear from God. I'm not willing anymore to just go out and take a whim on God. Don't get me wrong, I trust God and I believe, but listen, we've got to stop in our lives. Can I tell you what's happening? And you see this in their situation right here. They got their results because they done it their way. How many of us are in that mode right now? How many of us are in that situation right now? And my wife can tell you, this is our heart's prayer. We want to be where God will use us, where God will effectively use us, where God will anoint us. And so I was talking to a guy down here on the way down here last night, and I told Brother John this. I said, oh, it bothers me. My human nature is go. I've got an idea. I've got this. But God hadn't said, and listen, can I tell you what we've got to get back to in our lives? Is not losing sight of what's important. Listen, it's not about the busyness. It's not about the looking like we're really doing something from God. It's about being still until we know we've heard from Him. Until we know we've got His Word. Listen, I know they were nervous and afraid because the fight was on. The battle was on. They needed a resolve. They needed an answer. They needed a direction. But what they needed more than anything was to get on their face before God after they lost the 4,000 and said, God, is this what you want? Is this what you desire? If it is, give us direction on how to do it. Instead of making their own plans, because we see what happens there in verse 3. This will solve our problem. This will bring us the resolve. Some translations, and I'm a big King James man, but you notice in this it says they trusted, Israel trusted in the ark. Let us go get it, that it may go with us. And Israel treated the ark as a good luck charm. And here's what I thought. Many of us treat God the same way. Many of us treat God the same way. I've used this analogy before, and I think it's legit and something that we often act like. We use God like a spare tire. How many got out and checked your spare tire before you headed here today? No, none of us. I mean, I'll be honest. I thought about this driving yesterday as I was thinking on the message. I thought, man, you know what? I didn't even check mine, and I've said this several times in messages. You know, we don't think about it. We just hope if the tire goes flat and we need it, that when we go to pull it out, it's good enough to get us where we need to go till we get the fix. And boy, how many times do we treat God the same way? God, right here. Everything's good right now. Everything's fine right now. Everything's perfect right now. And if it gets bad, please be right here so I can call you to my rescue. So I can use you to get me out of this fix. See, they were mistreating the relationship with God. And I want you to notice that it wasn't a desire that they had to seek God or understand His will. They just wanted to fulfill their goal. They just wanted to achieve their purpose. They just wanted to look victorious and overcoming. Listen, I can't judge your heart. I only have to judge mine and let God judge mine. But I wonder, what's our intentions for why we do what we do? What is our motive? What is our goal? Or are we keeping our sight on what's familiar? Listen, many don't seek God truly. Think about this. For God's sake. When's the last time you sought God for God's sake? Boy, that humbles me and that breaks me in my heart, because how many times I've been there. Sought God for what would bring me peace. For what would bring me contentment. For what would take away the agony that I felt maybe in my life. And as I look back, I think God works all things together for good to them that love God. And I thought back to stories I've read about gold miners and metal workers and silversmiths, and the stories I've read about how they would put the silver in the fire and they would take the dross off, and when they knew it was perfect, when they seen their image in the metal. And I thought, how many times has God been taking me through something just trying to rid me of the dross, the gross in my life, because what God wanted in my life was for people to see Him. Listen, I've never changed a life. I've never saved anybody. I've never healed anybody. I've never brought anybody out of their addictions. I don't have that ability. But listen, if I let God be real in me, and I've thought about this so many times, that we don't seek God truly for God's sake. How many times have I got on my face when I'm going through something and said, God, if this is what it takes me to go through for people to see more of You and people to get more of You and people to respect You more, God, because of what my life has gone through, let it be so. But I'll be the first to say, because I can only speak of me, I'm so selfish sometimes. I hate the pain. I hate the hurt. I hate the worry. I hate the fire. I hate the potter's wheel. Whatever I'm going through sometimes, I just start seeking for my sake. God, I can't take this no more. Can't handle this no more. God, I need off this wheel. I need out of this fire. I need out of this valley. But thank God, we always want to be on the mountaintop, but aren't you thankful that the Bible teaches us He's the lily of the valley too? And how many times do we seek God for God's sake? They don't seek God to do God's will. They seek God because they wanted their will to be done. They wanted to be victorious. They wanted out of the battle. They just wanted the fight to be gone. They seek God to gratify their needs. So God is only as good as He is of use to them. Can I say that again? God was only as good as He is in use to them. They didn't realize His greatness. They didn't realize, oh yes, hey, the ark was a symbol of His power. But can I tell you, God could have gave them victory without the ark. If they'd have sought Him. If they'd have got a hold of Him. If they would have listened and done it His way. When we lose God, when we emphasize on an object over and above our relationship with God, when we focus only on the forms and what we get is a religious ritual going on in our life. If we had rituals going on in the church, we'd look and say, that's a little silly. We got to stop that. We're just going through the rituals. Well, boy, how many times we do that in our lives? Every day, we're going through rituals instead of having relationship. And I wrote down a few notes. How many of us really read our Word, read the Bible, to get fed, to glean wisdom, to get a word from God? Listen, we're guilty a lot of times of just reading chapters to get a notch in our belt on how many chapters we read. A lot of times we're guilty of picking up the Word of God and reading through it so we can say we made it through it this year. We read through it in 2023. I've said this when I've pastored before, and I'll say it till the day I die. I would rather an individual in the church read one verse of Scripture and get a golden nugget out of that verse and get a seed that brings forth productivity in their life than to read the Bible through 20 times in a year and not glean anything. See, a lot of times we just go through rituals instead of hearing from God. How many times do we get down and pray and we throw a record on? So what do you mean, Brother Jason, throw a record on? Man, we've been around it so long, we've heard so many prayers. Man, we've listened to so many prayers, we've been in church so long that we just reach back in our back pocket, if you would, and throw our ritual prayer on. I'm going to preach about that more here in just a second. But how many times are we guilty of just going through the motions? We emphasize on the ritual. It's like hanging a cross at the front door and believing that everything will be fine in our house. I mean, think about that. We can hang a cross on the front door of our house. But man, if we're letting junk come in our TVs, and we're letting junk come in our radios, and we're letting junk come in our minds and our hearts, and that cross ain't doing us no good. It's just a ritual, right? Like putting a necklace on our neck, but yet going and living a life full of sin. We know that necklace ain't going to do us no good. And it's the same way. Listen, God's not going to be God in our life unless our life is ridded of the sin and the relationship is there with Him. Letting Him speak to us speaking to Him. We cannot apply. And so what we see in this passage of Scripture is that they had rituals. They had forms. Our faith is in God, period, not in objects that He uses. The message is clear. It's not the methods or the form. God does not want us just copying. He don't want us just copying things, thinking it'll work. And there's scriptures I got down that I could talk about, and I could show you what I'm talking about. You look at through the passage of Scripture. You remember Paul? He God's using him, and claws are touching him. And man, listen, it wasn't the cloth. It was that Paul had been with God. And Paul had an anointing of God upon him. You remember that there were some tried to copycat the power that they seen in him. And the demons, remember, spoke out and said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? What was they doing? They thought they were going to whim up some magical solution to, listen, God can be all over Brother John and using Brother John. And I can't think just because I put a tie on like Brother John has, or just because I get me some black shoes like that some magical potion is going to come upon me. Brother John probably spent some time with God. Brother John probably got down until he got anointed. And a lot of times we think, man, if I do this or that or something ritual that God... Listen, it's relationship with the Almighty to get the power of God in our lives. Losing focus and losing track of what is important in our lives. So we see that they went through the motions. And secondly, what happens in their life? Nowhere in those first 11 verses do I read where there was a broken time of repentance. You know what should have rang in their minds? Something ain't right. We're God's people. God has chosen us. God has promised to fight for us. God has promised to walk before. Listen, I'm not up here to teach you some fancy ritual that, man, nothing ever is going to go bad in your life. But can I tell you something? God intends for your life to be blessed. God intends for your life to be protected. God intends for your life to be productive for Him. And yes, I understand and I know that there's going to be valleys. But through the valleys, even in the valleys, God's producing in us. God's performing in us. God's planning in us. Why? Because one thing I read the other day that's blessed me so much is it takes two mountains to create a valley. God intends for our lives to be blessed. We're going to go through the mountain, but it's normally when we've come off a mountain and we're going back to another mountain. God wants our lives to produce for Him and be blessed for Him. But here's the problem a lot of times in our lives is there is not the seeking God of why are you doing what you're doing in my life? And here it is right here. God, what may I have done in sin? Well, that's a big word to us right there. A lot of us don't want to admit when we've transgressed against God. I look and I don't see anywhere that the leader stood up and said, hey, can I tell you why this is going on? There's sin in the camp. And we can read the story so we know. Hophni and Phinehas and those guys were doing things in the house of God that, man, that they were taking of the offerings, they were laying with women in the temple. There were things going on that was ungodly and unrighteous, and they were trying to just raise the rug and put it under there and go on and just hope the power of God would still be with them. Let me tell you something. God will not release His power in our lives until the sin's dealt with. If we try to cover the sin, if we try to overlook the sin, and listen, we are guilty of pointing out everybody else's sin. If Brother John was hitting the bottle, we'd say, man, Brother John, God ain't going to bless his life till he gets off that bottle, till he quits drinking that alcohol. But listen, we'll sit over here and run our tongues and gossip and abuse people on Facebook or social media or even on the telephone. And listen, we justify that. Well, we're not gossiping, we're just having prayer requests. How many of us have said, listen, whatever the sin may be, and I'm just hitting a few things there because to point out some scenarios to you, all of us have something in our lives we're not careful that we don't want to admit. We don't want to face. Whether it be pride, jealousy, anger. Oh, your sin may not be pornography and alcohol and drugs and things that, you know, child abuse and things that we look at, oh, those are major sins. But sin is sin before God and God won't bless it. And nowhere do we see that repentance was in their life and that they dealt with the sin. The two sons were abusing the priesthood. They were stealing. The picture that we see is disturbing. The way the author puts it here in chapter 4, verse 4, is so the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring forth or from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. I don't know if you catch this, but as soon as I read this, Brother John, something that jumped out at me is instead of the man of God leading the people were leading the man of God. Do you see that? Now, you say, what do you mean there, Brother Jason? God gives vision to the man of God. And God leads the people through the man of God. And thank God for men of God that God anoints and used to direct us. But they had it backwards. They were telling him what needed to be done. And instead of him getting up and getting a hold of God and finding out, is this what God wants, and then going leading the people, he sets back, sends his two sons, and what I see here is they were there with the Ark of the Covenant, but the people were leading the idea and the scenario going on. When I begin to see some things here, and there's a lot going through my mind out of this passage of Scripture that I could point out. Listen, it's not about the rituals. It's not about our acts. It's about true repentance. So what do you mean by this? Listen, they even got excited. Man, they got so fired up. We can try to build excitement in our lives. But until true humility and true humbleness and true sacrifice is laid at the altar before God, none of the things that we try to produce or that we try to drum up is going to bring the power of God. Hey, they shouted. They shouted. They hollered. They thought, man, God's with us. And it scared the Philistines. You see that in the passage of Scripture. But listen, their shout didn't help them either. Why? Because even though they thought they'd done it all God's way, here's the key. God's hand wasn't upon it. Well, if I had a thought that I really wanted to punch home to you this morning in Sunday school, would be this. Let us not lose sight of what's important. It's not about the activities. It's not about the excitement. It's not about, listen, those things are great and those ought to be in the church. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. We ought to get excited. Man, it ought to fire us up when the house of God is open and we're able to come here. And we ought to want to clap our hands. We ought to want to sing unto the Lord. We ought to want to shout an amen. We ought to want to bless the Lord with our praise. The Bible teaches us that, and that's so important. But listen, the first thing must be done in our lives that's most important is we better come through those doors with a pure heart and holy hands. We better make sure our lives is blessed by a relationship with God. That we're doing it God's way. That we're seeking God's power. That we're seeking God's presence. And there's so many things that I could go on and show through here that you see that begin to happen. God brought forth and showed, hey, I'm not in this. I'm not for this. I'm not, though I think God was blessed by their intentions to bring what belonged to Israel back to Israel. Listen, can I tell you something? God wants His presence in the church. He wants His power in the church. He wants His Christians being victorious in the church, but He wants it done His way. It's not about the singers we put on stage. It's not about the show we put forth every Sunday when we start a service. It's not a production. It's real praise and worship to Him. It's real breaking down the Word of God and growing from it and learning from it and trying to glean from it. But they done it, and here's what you see. It backfired on them in a big way. Chapter 4, verse 10, 30,000 men lose their lives. Chapter 4, verse 11, the ark was taken by the Philistines and the two sons of Eli died. And that's not all. If you read on subsequently, you find that when Eli hears the news, he falls over backwards off his chair, breaks his neck, and he dies. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas, his wife, she heard the news and she goes into labor in chapter 4 and verse 21. And you find, or around that area there, you find that she has a child born. And as she's dying, she said, name the child Ichabod. Because the glory of God has departed. What happens here, Brother Jason? They lost focus of what was important. And in their tragedy, they begin to realize God's glory has departed. He's not in this. You know what broke my heart as I was reading this last night and even this morning? They waited till it was too late to realize the problem. God's glory's departed. God's glory's gone. It's not. We done it all the way and we're getting our results. And God help us not to wait till it's too late in our day and time, in our society, in our churches, to get on our face before God and say, God, are we doing it Your way? To get on our face in our families, in our ministries, in our lives, in whatever area God's called us. Maybe it's your place you're working, that God has given you a mission field. Maybe it's your home. Maybe it's your family. Whatever the situation, get on your face before God and say, God, I want an anointing. I do not want to lose sight of what's important, God, in your life. Can I say this in closing? When we lose God, we lose God when we focus our eyes on forms, rites, rituals, methods above our relationship. Above our relationship. I thought about this sitting downstairs this morning. I even lose God when I focus on others' relationship more than mine. We're all guilty of that. Boy, sure be good if Brother Mike could get. He needs to get a little, you know, and we go to looking at somebody else, you know, looking at somebody else's relationship saying, this is what, boy, if they would do this, they'd really get anointing from God. They'd get a fire from God. Boy, Brother John, man, he would fix this in his life. Listen, God needs me to get the beam out of my eye before I try to pull the splinter out of His. Work on my relationship with God. Work on my power of God being real in my life. It's always easy for me to say this person would get the power of God in their life. They just fix this, that, and another. God wants me to have the power in my life so that I can help others find the power of God in their life and bring forth the power of God. To know God's presence is to deal with our sin squarely. Confess and repent. Call on the name of Jesus. He promises to renew us, to forgive us, and He promises to release His presence and victory in our lives. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the rituals. You say, what do you mean, brother? Oh, listen, I love church and I love the old paths and I'm going to walk therein, and there's some things don't need to be changed in church, but here's what I mean. I'm tired of going to church and not seeing the power of God truly break loose and truly have its way. I'm tired of us in our society today, and I'm not just talking about Free Will Baptist. Listen, I've been in a lot of different churches, a lot of different areas, a lot of different places, and I see it all across our nation. We have a bad habit of trying to do it our way and trying to do what we think God wants. And very few of us have been on our face before God during the week seeking, what is it you want this week? What is it you want this day? God, what is it you want in my life to bring forth your power and to be a conduit, God, for your power to just flow through? Can I tell you that's all I want to be? I don't care if from this day till the day God takes me out, if anybody else learns my name, knows my name, or respects my name, or says, man, what a man. What a man. Listen, you know what I hope God does with me in my next ministry and in the days ahead that He gives me opportunity to preach? I want people to be pointed to God. And at the end of the day, Brother John, what I really want, not for my sake, but I want people to go, man, thanks for unleashing God in my life. Thanks for teaching me how to love God. Over the last few months, God's allowed me to have a few of those connections that just bless me so much. Because I've got a few people that I'm able to give them nuggets of things of God and watch it produce in their life. And I'm telling you, that blesses me as much as it blesses them. And then to watch them, not for my sake, but watch them just get a hold of it and come up and say, thank you. I don't feel like I've done anything great. I just stood by the sideline and said, hey man, look at this scripture. Think about this thought. But God's let my life produce in their, and listen, these are drug addicts. These are guys that come off the street. These are ladies that didn't have a good name. Listen, these are people that our society would want to cast out, but God got a hold of, and now God's let me, sitting in the church I'm at, be a little help and be a little encouragement and be a little strength for them and be a help in their lives. And in my life, there was a time I thought, man, God's got somebody called to that. That ain't me. But I wept the other day as I sat and thought, God's let me now refocus in my life to realize every individual is important in His life or in His ministry, and their life is important to Him. And God, help us not lose focus of what's important. And here's what it is: to give the good news, share the gospel, and let the power of God be real in our lives. May God help us not lose focus of what's important. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the opportunity to fellowship in the Word this morning. Thank You for the privilege we have to be here at Bethel. God, thank You for every opportunity You give us to preach the Word, to stand for Your cause, and to share the good news. Thank You, God, for this hour that we've had in teaching of Your Word and training of Your Word. And as we go into service, we pray for anointing and blessing. We pray for our home church, and God, pray that my children and our friends and family back home, God, will be blessed through their time in church today. God, we pray for Pastor Mike, for Sister Lisa, and the family. God, that You would just continue to bless them and watch over them. And as they're out ministering and doing what You've called them to do, I pray for favor, anointing, and power of God to be upon their lives that will be so effective and bring back the good news of great things You've done. God, help us to be busy about Your work. But God, before we get busy, may we get blessed. May we get anointed by getting on our face and seeking You for Your way. And keeping focus, God, in our lives to be sure that our sins are dealt with, that the power of God, when it's in our lives, can be powerful, effective, and real, not just ritual. Bless Your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.